Question 93. Who says to his servant, "Go and sit down to meat"? Luke 17:7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he's come from the field, "Go and sit down to meat"? Here Jesus was teaching on forgiveness. He said that offenses would inevitably come and cause some to stumble. He added, "Woe to that one by whom the offense comes." And later he said that we must be very careful to rebuke and to forgive, so that we tolerate nothing less than what is right, but forgive any offense from which a brother repents. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. This was, to say the least, a tall order. The disciples said, after hearing such an impossible command, "Increase our faith." Supposing that the task required more than they were able to do. Jesus' answer was clear, that the amount of faith was not a factor. And the Lord said, "If ye had faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, 'Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea,' and it should obey you." This was clearly a matter of a man's will, a matter of servitude, of obedience. He adds that we need not think that when one forgives, it's a great matter, as if it makes a man worthy of praise, for as servants, it's simply our duty. Mankind has many characteristics of God in his physiological makeup. Though we were made in his image, we are not to own his attributes. Certain traits are left over from the fall. Remember that Satan said that with knowledge we would be as gods, knowing good and evil. He was right to the extent that we now have an overdeveloped desire for power. This takes form in a propensity to judge others as though we were God, to make decisions or maintain control as though we were God, to be praised, to create, and to be worshipped by others as though we are God. These are only a few of the attributes of God commandeered by fallen mankind. These have been a source of trouble for us and need to be watched closely and held in check. The desire to be thanked appears from time to time, especially when we've done something that we did not want to do, or the act required much effort. The statement, "They didn't even thank me," is heard only when there is a pride in the task or gift given. The action for which gratitude is sought is, in the mind of the giver, above and beyond what was fair, or it was done with reluctance, or it was done out of a sense of duty. If we wonder just what our position is in this kingdom, Jesus made it clear. When the disciples inferred that thanks would be due anyone who maintained their life in the way that he described, Jesus asked them, "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, and will say unto him by and by when he's come from the field, 'Go and sit down to meat,' and will not rather say unto him, 'Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink'? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded of you, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which it was our duty to do.' Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him." This counsel is probably the most valuable advice for living a peaceable and stress-free life that we will ever hear from anyone. If we can only learn what to rebuke and what to forgive, we would all be better off. Stress and pressure builds up in our life when we don't speak up when offenses come. We need to love folks enough to rebuke them when they wrong or offend us. We also need to forgive and not hold grudges when we are offended. We need not think that we are undeserving of such treatment or insist that we be honored in some way, but we should take wrong and suffer and forgive. What is the duty outlined here, if it's not to rebuke when we should and forgive when we should? Here it's made plain that we are required to forgive, expected to have faith, obligated to rebuke all offenses committed, and forgive every sin regretted and forsaken. One may think that this will please the Lord so much that he will surely thank us or treat us as special if we accomplish some great and difficult feat of selflessness. Jesus would answer, "I think not. Who says to his servant, 'Go and sit down to meat'?" Jesus warns us not to think of the servant as greater than his Lord. We must keep in mind our servitude class. We must maintain the form of a servant to have the mind of Christ. Contrary to what we hear from the modern theologian, we're not to prance through the world with the best of everything because we are king's kids, nor are we to expect thanks for doing our work. What we think of as our ministry is actually his ministry. Our accomplishments are merely our duty. Our position of eminence we fancifully enjoy as being his right-hand man is, in reality, no more than that of a lowly servant. Remember, when we have done all, when we have accomplished everything that we've been commissioned to do, when we have dotted every I and crossed every T, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have only done that which was our duty to do. Humbling thought, isn't it? We need to fix this at the root of the cause. We expect thanks when we've done something that we did not want to do. If you become a slave of love and a servant of no mind but to serve, your desire for thanks, appreciation, recognition, or reward will subside. You shouldn't elevate yourself to a level not offered you. Just as you become a son of God at his desire, you also become a friend of God, only when he says so. If you're young in Christ, inexperienced and ignorant, you shouldn't expect to occupy a place of authority or familiarity. He'll come in time. Paul says that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant. We shouldn't expect power beyond our means, wisdom beyond our understanding, fellowship inappropriate to our station, or reward for accomplishment of our mere duty. After all, who says to his servant, "Go and sit down to meat,"